ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here for Podcast Rock City. And with me this week is Sonny Hollywood Pooney.
Hello, everyone. I'm the nice guy today because there's no Lee. So I'm the only nice guy.
Why? I got a bone to pick with you, Joe.
Oh, let's talk. Hold on. Let's talk about bones in a second. I got to introduce you. Everybody right down there is Scott Stapp.
All right. This is how we're going to start today's show. All right.
I don't know. Right.
Sonny's the nice guy. I'll take you on, Joe. Let's go. Come on.
Somebody sent me a picture of Scott Stapp. It was like, Joey looks like Scott Stapp. I went, son of a gun, he does.
He looks like me.
He looks like you.
By the way, he is a very handsome man.
There we go. And that right there is Joey Quesada. What's the bone?
So the bone is, first of all, I don't know if everyone knows, but the intro to our show, the new intro, Classic 78.
Awesome.
Fucking phenomenal. Love those guys. So cool. But why the hell? You ready?
Mooney first.
Yes! Why does he get top billing? He's the worst!
When Karen and I were making that, she said...
What were you making? Hold on a second.
First thing out of her mouth was... Joey will complain that Sonny is the first one on.
Karen, do what you have to do. Butter Joe up, and I mean that literally. If you have to butter him up tonight, that's okay. Lather him up, whatever you got to do, and get this intro changed. Top billing. I would love Lee to have top billing. I'll take second. Joe is the host at the end. I'll take it. Pooney's got to be a distant 17th.
Okay. We're going to make one this week for next week that'll have like a whole bunch of different. All right. We'll have to wait and see if we actually do that. Thank you guys for tuning in. We love you. It's good to see you. And man, we have so much to talk about from this week that we absolutely have to get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So the news this week, did anything really happen? I'm kidding. So first, let's start off at the bottom. Spinning Gold, is that what the movie's called? Spinning Gold. Yeah. It came out. There was a thing. Three Sides of the Coin did an interview with I guess the people that wrote it. So it was Joyce. And Neil Bogart's grandson?
Son, I thought. Was it grandson?
I didn't see the interview yet, but I think it's the son.
Yeah. So there was another podcast that put out a thing that said, if you don't watch this interview, then you might as well turn in your Kiss Army card. So I didn't watch it. Out of spite.
I didn't watch it yet either, but that sounds like it's a great interview. You're talking about she's Kiss's old manager, whether we like it or not. Her and Neil and Bill and all of them, they started all of this. So if anyone has insight on early Kiss, it's Joyce.
Yeah, absolutely. So Karen and I are going to go see it tomorrow. I screwed up and went and saw that stupid Mario movie, and two out of 10 from me. There we go. So Spinning Gold, Karen was like, I really want to see it with you. So we're going to go tomorrow, and during the week, I'll do a review for you guys. I have not heard bad things about Spinning Gold. I've actually heard that there are a few surprises, like Joyce had a bigger role and getting Kiss signed according. Yep. So, you know, to the victors go the spoils. Whoever writes, you know, the people write the book, write the movie the way they remember it. Right. So I don't know what's real, what's not, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Would anybody else?
No, I think she was integral early on in Kiss's career. I think, you know, again, people forget her. People forget Sean Delaney a lot too, I think. And right. those are that whole, it's, I think it was a team effort. I don't think it was Paul and Gene, Peter and Ace. I don't think it was Neil. I don't think it was Bill. I think it was all of them together. All of them had this vision and they all pulled their whatever weight they were carrying to get this off the ground.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. Anytime that you've been in a creative situation, whether you're a creative problem solver or a creative artist, man, when that door unlocks, like ideas just flood. And if you're in the room with a bunch of people, I can imagine the ideas are bouncing all over the place, especially when some of the ideas start working. Can you imagine the creativity that's coming from these people in 76, 77 when everything seems to be working?
Yeah. Now this kind of ties into the other piece of news. Okay. So, I guess Ace went on Eddie Trunk this week. Basically, he put out an ultimatum last week. Everybody called it a threat. I hate that I just did finger quotes. And that it was a threat. Tell, you know, give me an apology or I'm going to release some crap, right? I'm going to say some shit. And then a week later, basically, according to Ace, there was no apology, but there was a go fuck yourself.
Oh, yes.
Apparently, I believe what he said was there was a phone call. It said Paul S. on the phone. He answered it, and then it was basically go fuck yourself. I'm not apologizing. You know. So we talked about this at length on Wednesday. So go back and look. Thousands of you have watched this video already, but Joey was not there. Now, a lot of people, I don't know what Joey knows, probably nothing, because this is probably not discussed while he's tracking drums. However,
I thought you were going to say he just doesn't know anything.
Whoa.
Period.
Yeah, I didn't say that. Just remember, it was the guy who gets top billing on the show.
Karen, fix it, baby.
This is what she said. She says, I have all control.
Exactly right.
Okay, so, Joey, did you get a chance to listen to the interview?
I didn't hear a lot of the second interview yet. I heard some of it. I heard the whole first interview. And I just quickly my take on it, because I haven't been on with you guys, obviously. Listen, I hate the mudslinging, but we all went through this already in the 80s, right? The mudslinging in the 80s was nonstop, especially always on the Gene and Paul side mostly, right? Gene and Paul always badmouth Peter and Ace. And it's happening again. And listen, I hate to say it. I know so many of these personalities in my life, growing up in the music business, growing up in the entertainment business. Paul has this personality where he's so insecure. Anytime he can knock someone else to make himself feel better, that's what he does. And listen, I'm not saying it's not warranted, whatever it is. All I'm saying is that's Paul's personality. So when Paul goes on Howard Stern and says, yeah, we would have sounded, you know, you could have called this piss instead of kiss. It's a dig because he knows he doesn't sound good right now. So he wants to make sure he digs and knocks down someone else to make sure he feels better. Where he knows it's a lie. You know as well as I do, Peter and Ace get up there, they play two songs, it would sound great. Did anyone think the reunion tour was going to sound good? No, because in the eyes of the public, Gene and Paul bashed Peter and Ace for so many years. They can't play, they're drug addicts, they stink, they can't do anything. When the reunion happened, everyone was like, oh my God, this is phenomenal. And I really believe the same would have happened then and the same would happen now if they played a couple songs. I'm not saying in their 70s, mid-70s, late-70s, these guys can everyone do a full show. All I'm saying is that when Paul comes out and says they would sound like piss, it's fucked up. It's bullshit. And I think Peter and Ace should be offended by that and should come out and say, hey, you know what? Fuck you. Now, all the mudslinging as far as releasing a manuscript and blah, 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 I don't know much about that. And then when he went on Eddie Trunk, I do know as you know, I did have a little bit of a semi-cool week this week.
We'll talk about that.
But I do know Ace did want to take the higher road. I don't know if he had dirt. If he has dirt, if he has this manuscript in the safe and locked away in his silly safe, I don't know what it is. But I do think Ace decided, you know what? It's not worth it to spill whatever I want to spill. Whether it's not worth it just publicly or personally or legally, he wind up not doing what he said he was going to do.
Which makes him look like a chump.
I don't know if I agree.
I'm not
with that.
Saying he no. should do it. I'm just saying shouldn't have said it to begin with, right?
Listen, but in the heat of the moment, so Eddie's, I don't think he went on Eddie Trunk the first time to threaten Paul or to give an ultimatum. But when you're, you know, when you're fired up, when you start talking about something, you say, you know what? Fuck these guys. I'm going to tell them, if you don't apologize to me, I'll tell something about you. And to me, in a weird way, and I know I'm probably defending Ace and I'm not drinking the blue Kool-Aid and blah, 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 what everyone thinks, but I'm defending Ace in a way, just by him saying that he has dirt, didn't it make us all think, wow, I wonder what dirt he could have, whether he has it or not. Didn't we all kind of go in our memory banks and say, you know what? Maybe he does have dirt on Gene giving pay money to Hush Girls. And maybe he does have Paul dirt on whether he did this and did that. Who knows what he has?
Yeah, I don't think my personal opinion, he didn't have shit.
That because is the homie first thinks time he got it. Ever sneezed on the show. I want to point that 400 plus. I'm so sorry. Excuse me.
No, no worries. Personal opinion, I don't think he has shit. Because he also thinks he's got a Grammy. Like, so even if he thinks he has shit, right? All the stuff he thinks he has, he just hasn't heard that everybody already knows that stuff. Right. My thing, you had brought up the whole mudslinging thing. What's interesting to me about it is in the 80s when the mudslinging was happening, the breakup was fresh. Right. So if you ever been in a bad relationship and you break up, that first, dude, at first you're mudslinging on both. I don't know if you should be doing it 30 years later.
But it like wasn't 30 years that later, fresh. Can we 87, just 88, 89. Peter's gone 7, 8, 9 years already.
Yeah, but they keep getting the questions. So what do you want?
But same thing as now. They're mudslinging now just the same reason. Just I just think, I don't think the mudslinging happens unless people bring up, hey, why didn't Peter and Ace play at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Hey, why aren't you guys having them on the farewell end of the road tour? I don't think the mudslinging happens until the questions are asked, because you know as well as I do, history, if we've learned anything over the years, history repeats itself, right? So history over the years repeats itself in a way that, you know, Gene and Paul only sell the current product. When Crazy Nights was coming out, you can go back. The interviews were, this is a mix between Destroyer and Animalize, whatever the hell they said. And, you know, they're selling that product at that time. Same thing now. They're selling the end of the road product. So when anyone asks them about the past, meaning Peter and Ace, they got to knock it down. Because, no, that's not what we're doing. Here's what we're doing.
Yeah, I'm just surprised that Gene and Paul just don't shut that shit down. When people ask them, hey, how come Peter and Ace, like, guys, can we move on with other questions, please? We're going to answer the same damn questions all the time. Anybody got a new one, possibly? Like, just get pissed off and just poo-poo the question.
I'm with you. I think that's the better way to handle it. I really do. I think if they want to handle it the right way, just say, guys, enough already. This is what we're doing now. That was the past. Move on. I agree when Peter and Ace get mad. There's no reason for Paul to say we would have sounded like piss. I mean, it's just a pompous thing to say when you know, I think we all know, Paul sounds like piss right now. So, you're doing it just to bring yourself up and knock someone else down.
Okay. Now, he did bring up a couple of things. It's really weird because one of the things that he did say was this was a crazy week. I wanted to keep working on recording my album, but instead I got to deal with all this. And I'm like, dude, you did it. It's like it's like you walked up, it's like you had this stick and you walked over to a hornet's nest and you went bam, and then you went, I can't believe I'm getting stung. It's like
no, you're right.
You hit the hornet's nest. Now, he did say it was really strange because, first of all, I mentioned this on the other show. I do want to point out the headline that Eddie Trunk said would not be a headline, and that is Eddie Trunk does not like drama. He said he didn't. He said he didn't want any drama. He doesn't want any drama. He doesn't need any drama. He had the chance to have Bob Kulick on the show, but he passed it up because he felt like it was too much. So Eddie Trunk did not want this drama, but he brought Ace on twice. Okay,
listen, you know as well as I do. That sell any listen drama. Yeah. You put on the nightly news. Put on your 10 o'clock news tonight. You won't see how beautiful the weather is or anything. You'll see the car crash and you'll see the fire and you'll see the volcano. You're not going to see good things. Drama sells.
And we seriously think that Eddie didn't think he could control Bob Kulick, but he can control what Ace says? Yeah. Like, come on, dude. Seriously?
So, all right. So he did release. He did still say a couple of things. One, he mentioned that Rachel, his... I guess wife or girlfriend, I don't even know. I hear mixed things. Got a non-disclosure agreement. And then besides that, he said that he's brought up Neil Bogart, you know, whipping out a huge bag of coke and them doing a couple rails, you know, and while Gene sat there. And he almost kind of like made fun of Gene for not doing it. That's what I gathered from it. It was almost like he was like looking goofy or something like that. And I'm like, because he didn't have his nose buried and shit. It's like, it was very strange. And then, so that was dirt, man. That's dirt right there. That's not Kiss dirt, but it's still dirt. I don't know what's real. What he remembers, he said that Neil Bogart loved him and that Paul hated him. I'm not misquoting that, right, Sonny?
That Neil Bogart loved
Ace and Paul hated Neil.
Yeah, I think that's what he said, but I think what he meant by most likely what he meant by it was Paul and Gene were irritated that Neil was probably partying with Ace and possibly Peter, and that's irritating, right? Because those guys are trying to sit there and get work done, and homie's sitting there, you know, partying, looking at Gene saying you're not going to get involved or whatever. That's all this dirt shit. The other problem with dirt is basically you're just going to sling a bunch of shit you can't prove. Okay, Rachel Gordon, first of all, is she your wife or not? Because he said both of those things too. He said, I'm not married. I don't owe her shit. And then he keeps bringing her up as the wife. So were they married or were they not? And then it's, well, she got an NDA. And so what? You don't know anything that's in the NDA and what it's about.
I do want to make sure that I say hello to everybody. It's a Saturday show. I know we're not normally doing this, man. We're getting a lot of messages from Australia. Thank you, guys. How y'all doing? Good morning. I think it's morning there. Good morning.
Where do y'all come from? All of a sudden, Georgia came out of him. Like, what the hell?
Did I say never... y'all?
Yeah, you said y'all.
Just remember that the word red and the word blue have two syllables in Georgia: red and blue. Anyway, and Sonny, if the right blonde says it,
oh yeah,
he does not. He does not complain.
I always think he's George. I always think Joe's in Alabama. I don't know why.
You need to stop with that. That's okay. You know, Georgia and Alabama are like New York and New Jersey, right?
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. But unfortunately, Joey is really from New Jersey.
No, it's not. Stop it. I live in New Jersey. I am from Brooklyn, New York.
See, yeah, he won't take it. All right. So Podcast Rock City 1,
Number one, baby.
That's the number one at gmail.com. You can email us about anything you want. I didn't mean to interrupt in that, but I wanted to make sure I get that out since so many of you are watching from all over the place. Rory, how you doing from Melbourne? It's so good to see you guys. Illinois, everybody's North Carolina. Man, you guys are the best. Listen, obviously you want to hear something from Joey. I'm going to ask him a few questions, and hopefully he can tell me. We did not discuss any of this before we got started. That's why I am a little nervous. Joey, are you allowed to tell us how many songs you played on?
Played on what? I don't even know what you're talking about. I had a very uneventful week, Joey. What are
you on the Ace Frehley, new Ace Frehley record.
Oh, I forgot about that. You're no, dude, you obviously. Made it,
let me tell you, I want you guys to know that I got a phone call at like 11:30, almost 12 o'clock at night from the most excited Joey Quesada I have ever talked to, and I was thrilled to the bone. Karen, I had him on my headphones, and I'm talking to him, and Karen is like going, what? 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 And I'm like, go make me turkey pot pie. No, I did not do that. She's watching The Breakfast Club. No,
you so- better duck. There's a turkey pot pie coming at your head right now.
So, Joey... you know, can you give us anything you can? How many songs did you play on?
So if anyone doesn't know, I did have a pretty cool week this week, especially for a Kiss nerd like myself. I got a phone call earlier this week to possibly lay down some tracks for the new Ace Frehley record. So I had to think about it, of course, for all of a millisecond, and I jumped at the chance. My good buddy Steve Brown from Trickster is producing and co-writing the record right now. I will tell you from what I've heard and what I played on, the songs are phenomenal. Ace is singing and playing his ass off. The most melodic Ace we've heard in a long, long time, I think. It's stuff that I think maybe some fans will be surprised at. And then you'll also get some regular Ace stuff as well. But I got a call... jumped at the opportunity. Obviously, me being a Kiss fanboy, Ace idol. Ace was always my favorite guy in the band. Him and Eric Carr were my favorites. So got to lay down. As of right now, I laid down about five tracks for Ace. Whether what makes the album or not, I don't know what's going to happen yet. I just know the songs that I laid down are killer. All the stuff that I've heard in addition are amazing, so definitely look out. I think the album is almost done. I know the songs are pretty much all written. There will be a couple surprises. You're gonna love what you hear. Maybe some older stuff that comes out that you're not aware of, but you're gonna be really pleasantly surprised, I think, with this new Ace record.
Exciting! I can't wait to hear some of it. Joey, hint, hint. Could you? All right. It's all good. It's all good. All right. So how about this?
I'll answer Brent's question. Brent,
I will tell. Yes.
No. Brent, your answer is no.
He's asking, will it be better than the 78 solo album? I will tell you, listen, obviously I'm biased. We're all biased, right? So 78 solo album is what we grew up on, right? That was, even now, to me, the 78 solo album is one of the best Kiss records, top five Kiss records, not only Ace records, top five Kiss records. So am I going to tell you it's better than the 78 solo? I'm not going to lie to you. No, of course not. I love the 78 solo. It's fucking incredible. But I will tell you, this stuff is great. If you like the more melodic side of Ace, if you like the more song-oriented Ace, this album is for you. You're going to love it.
If I get a mix of the first Frehley's Comet album, Second Sighting, and Trouble Walking, if I got that mix, I'd be happy as hell.
Dude, I will tell you, if I had to describe it, that's a great way to put it. Because you're right. The first two Frehley Comet records, I think, is more melodic type of Ace. And then Trouble Walking is a little bit edgier. And I think this stuff is right along those lines. And I will tell you, Ace, working with Ace, absolutely incredible. I was there not only when I did my drums, of course, but I was there when he was tracking vocals, when he was tracking guitar, and he's, I'm not kidding, singing his ass off. He really is. Wow. And I think Steve is pushing him to a level where, you know, his vocals are really shining. Where I'm not saying he didn't do it in the past, but maybe someone just didn't push him to the past and didn't have this melodic melody. So, again, we'll talk more about it when the album comes out, and hopefully I'll even have some more tracks that I lay down. But when the album comes out, I'll be able to talk more in depth about the songs that I'm involved in, and you know how the process went, and everything about it.
This is exciting. Okay, so yeah, we'll talk more about that. You know, from right here. Hey, Argentina, how you doing, Adrian? One of the cool things about Joey doing this is the fact that it's like looking at him. He's like a kid, and it's really awesome. When you told your wife that you were going to do this, was she like?
So my wife is funny because she's not us, right? So she's like, I told her a couple days before, because I really only had a couple days heads up. I literally got the tracks a couple days before. I was literally getting tracks 11:45 p.m. the night before. I was still getting emails from Steve. Hey, we're going to lay this one down too. And, you know, I'm telling my wife, and she's like, and the morning that I'm leaving, you know, I'm fucking sweating. I'm panicking. If you ever told, you know, 5-year-old Joey Quesada, hey, one day you're going to be recording with Ace Frehley, I would have shit my pants. And, you know, the morning of, I'm leaving to, you know, all my drums are packed up. I'm leaving to go to the recording studio. I'm like, all right, honey, I'm leaving. She goes, okay, have fun. Have a good time. And then later that day, my wife is so detached from all this. I'm recapping the day with her, telling her all the Ace stories and telling her, you know, how excited I am. She's like, you know, it's so funny, you know, until, you know, I just talked to you, you told me you were going to record with Ace, but for some reason, that, what's that other guy's name? That guy, Peter, was always in my brain. It's like, what?
So, Joey, a question on the tracks. Since we're not talking about Rush and some of these guys, I'm assuming you're not getting musical theory shit written out for you. Is this drum machine clicks that are just for the demo, or did Steve, you know, kind of lightly put something together so they get the other stuff recorded, or
a little of both? Okay. Some tracks would have like little drum machine ideas. Some tracks would have just click tracks and say, okay, what's your idea for this? And a little bit of everything. So, and that's really it's not just unique to this. It's commonplace in recording. I'll get demos all the time to do recordings too. Some will have light drum beats too. And some will, you know, say, hey, we love this feel, but spice it up. And then some will say, well, we kind of don't like this feel. What do you think? What would you do on this? And some might just have a click track to say, write your own rhythm. So it's always different.
Well, that's awesome. And we're excited about this. It's going to be something that we get to talk about in the next few months. You'll get to see how excited Joey's getting. I do want to point out that to me, the greatest tidbit that I learned is that Joey is literally using his daughter's drum kit for the record. This is amazing.
That's actually true. So if you see any of my social media posts, you see the kit that I used to do the tracking for this record. And it's an old ZO2 kit that I use. But, you know, over the years, I have a lot of drum kits. So I've you know, systematically given, you know, kits to my kids, because both kids play drums now. My daughter's 13. My son is 8. They both play drums. My daughter's drums are now my Ludwig Champagne Sparkle kit, and my son's drums are my Ludwig Red Sparkle kit. So that's their drum sets, even though we all share them, we're a family, but that's technically their drum sets. So when I got the call to do these tracks, it just so happens that the Champagne Sparkle have a deeper, it's a 24-inch bass drum, it's a deeper tom, it's something a little bit bigger sounding, these tracks. And when I told my daughter I was taking them to do the tracks, she wasn't very happy.
I know. That's such a great story. All right. So lots coming with that. Make sure you tell your friends. One more news thing that I can think of, and then I'll ask everybody else. This is on the shelves right now. Life magazine, the hottest band in the world, music, makeup, and the road to glory. Kiss, 50 years, gods of rock and roll. Now, for those of you that don't know, I constantly send the people on our show pictures whenever I'm at the grocery store of these Life magazines that have been coming out. So there's been Aerosmith, there's been Fleetwood Mac, there's been quite a few, 50 years of them, and I'm like, what the hell? And then now there is a Kiss one. So if you haven't seen it yet, I recommend it. I'll tell you, there is a
Why are they using a 25-year-old picture at the front?
Oh, that's a really great cool Eric picture.
Eric Carr. No, I understand. I mean, okay, so
right?
Would you have said, let's use a older picture?
Yeah, use a classic picture or the band that it is today. Why are you using a 25-year-old picture? I'm talking about on the cover.
Yeah, use that
on the cover. Why are you using that?
How about this, Sonny? I bet you they don't even know that that's a reunion picture.
No, there's no way.
That's how I bet you, I guarantee you, they don't even know that's a reunion picture. And in a way, isn't that the brilliance of Kiss, right? Isn't that what they're telling us? It's timeless.
Timeless. Yeah, so, you know, that's just the thing. I haven't looked at the magazine yet, but I'm planning on doing that this week. Anyway, all right, so now that we got a little bit of the news out of the way, let's go ahead and get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
Yeah, for you guys that don't know, that's Classic 78, the music. I've been getting a few messages going, how come I've never heard this Kiss song before? It's not Kiss, it's Classic 78. And what they did, they've released, I don't know, 3 albums now. And it's all Kiss inspired, 78 Kiss inspired. So if you, you know, want to check it out, go to the... classic78.com and you could download the music and get it right there. John Ross is asking a question. He's saying that I asked the tough questions. I think John's making fun of me. What about Dubai? I don't know, dude. We've covered that fucking until the fucking chickens come home.
You're never getting Dubai. That's the answer. You're never getting it.
I'm done talking about it. I know that that my birthday present from the year 2019 is fucking gone. I'm not getting shit. Sorry to disappoint you.
There's a better chance of Sonny Pooney kissing a real girl than you getting Dubai.
Just damn.
Nice.
That's brutal. All right.
Might take a shot at the wife. The wife did nothing to you.
No, you don't. I've never seen this wife. She does not exist.
I'm not going to lie. She's fucking beautiful, and I do not know how Sonny pulled that shit off.
I will tell you, I got the Christmas card with the daughters in the picture, too. Sweet good heavens.
Yikes. I think there's some laws being broke.
Oh. Do they, Pony, ask them if they like Creed. Do they like Creed?
Yeah, no, they don't.
All right. So Kiss released off the soundboard. Which one is this? Fifth one? I think it's the fifth one. And my review is it's a piece of shit. Good night, everybody.
I'm gonna slap you in the head. Listen, you want to get into it? Go ahead. I'll wait for my turn. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. I'll go ahead and say this. I do understand that is a piece of history or kistery that we've all wanted. Right? Am I right, Sonny?
Yes.
Okay, we all wanted it. However, the thing that's disappointing is I know it's a bootleg, but the playing on it is bad. They should have reassessed this when they listen. I'm not only talking about Mark St. John's solo in like Love Gun was, I was like, what happened? Eric Carr's drum solo, I did not enjoy. Paul singing. Don't get me wrong. Every band has bad nights. There's no such thing as a band that goes out there and somebody's going to go, well, Rush. And I'll be like, no. Every band, people have bad nights, and that's what happened. I understand why this had to come out. It was for the real fan. The average tire kicker does not know who the fuck, you know, Mark St. John is. And I get that. But I think that if Mark St. John was alive and he'd have sat in to listen to that, he would have been like, please do not release this.
Joe, come here, come on, come a little closer. 1 second. There's something on. Come here. Come a little closer. Come. No, a little bit more. A little tiny bit more. What the hell is wrong? This is the problem with Kiss fans. Okay. We beg for things. Oh, we've heard of this. We've heard of that. Please give it to us. Please give it to us. And then you shit all over it the second it comes out. Yeah, I agree. Is it the greatest show ever? Of course it's not. But it's a time capsule that we've been dying to hear for 40 years. We finally get to hear Mark St. John on a recording. It's a show we've heard about forever, right? What did he play on? Two live shows?
I think that's it.
Two and a half, I think.
That they even have one full one is incredible. And is it the best show? No. But that's a little picture of what they were at that moment. Gene is on fire. I think Gene is incredible in this show. I think Eric is incredible. The people that are saying, oh my God, Eric Carr plays too fast. That's not Eric's fault. They wanted him to play fast. Okay. If you listen to stuff like Fits Like a Glove, even Heaven's on Fire, Young and Wasted, that stuff is slightly brighter than the recording. It's not big time faster. It's only the classic songs like Detroit Rock City, Cold Gin, Love Gun that are really pushing because they wanted him to push. And is Mark St. John's playing good? No, it's not good. It's Vinny, but worse. But that's what I wanted to know that. I've never known that before, right? We didn't know how Mark played. And all the, you know, the stories of Mark's fingers blowing up and his ass blowing up, whatever the hell the story is, I think we realize now most of that was either lies or exaggerations, right? Because if you put on the Animal Eyes Uncensored video or recording, whatever you have next to this, you'll see why Bruce got the gig. Not because, you know, Mark's ass was exploding and blah, blah, blah. It's because Bruce was far superior because he did all the tasteful ace licks, but he also did all the great, you know, Eddie Van Halen type shredding solos that Kiss wanted. Mark was an experiment gone wrong. End of story.
Okay. So, we're getting, it's a mixture of comments here. And I want you guys to understand this is a safe place. You can tell us how you feel. I'm fine with that. John Ross says he disagrees. He thought that Mark St. John's playing was absolutely blazing. That's awesome. I don't have, if you're happy with this, I think that that's great. That's the plus to this show is that we give our opinion and you can in real time say, you guys are crazy. And I'm not going to tell you you're wrong because that's the thing about art and that's the thing about music. What, like Sonny likes some real major shit that I've listened to, but I like Queensryche with Jeff Tate and he gives me one of these when I say that. Go ahead.
See?
So it's okay. It's okay to tell us we're crazy. We're not going to take it personally and neither should you. Sonny, what do you think?
All right. So I will tell you, I have not bought any of this soundboard stuff. I'm only listening to it on Spotify because reality is it feels cheap to me. That's just like, if I can't use it as like album art, put it in a frame, put it up or something, then I'm not really interested in it at all. But I did want to hear them all. I am, like many of our Kiss listeners, was interested in this show that we had never heard before. One of the Mark St. John shows that we had never heard. There is absolutely no way Mark would have lasted in this band. The playing is brutal. Love Gun, when I hear other people play A stuff, or they kind of do their own interpretive dance when it's time for them to guitar solo instead of doing Ace's stuff. When Bruce is doing it and some of these other guys are doing it, even in some of the tribute bands, it's fine. But when you're not even, like, there's certain parts of the solo you have to keep the same. Like, you can't just play whatever note out of key, out of tune. I don't know what the hell he was doing. It surprises me that he was a guitar teacher, to be honest with you, because after listening to this, I think he picked up the guitar about 4 days before he played it.
Yeah,
right? It's bad.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. I'm wondering if his hand was really giving him a lot of shit. But this is just my opinion. I'm sure he was as good as everybody always said he was. Yeah. Just like, it was surprising to hear it the way it was. That, for me, it was. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure that in his prime, he outplayed me at my prime. At my best, I'm no Mark St. John.
Play guitar, so that part doesn't matter to me. This whole Fast Kiss thing, right? I like Fast Kiss, right? But Fast Kiss was written to be fast. The original Kiss was not written to be fast. So when they're played fast, man, the groove is totally gone. Like, the groove disappears, because even that 15 to 20% faster, not Eric's fault, but it just makes the songs, in my opinion, sound weird. I think Gene sounds great. I think Eric, except for the drum solo, which I thought was a complete waste of time, sounds great on some of these. I didn't think Eric's vocals were great on this. Some of the backing vocals, oh my God, they were brutal.
Yep.
Right?
Why do you think that they didn't just piece together Young and Wasted and cut?
Yeah, why cut a minute
out of it? Or they didn't have it. And it's like they could have,
maybe just leave it out, right?
Leave it out, and that makes it more authentic, of course. However, you could have pieced it together, and the real ball busters would have been like, there's no recording of this, blah, blah, blah. But the average person would have went, yeah, but did you want it to cut out? Did you, what I mean?
I mean, listen, again, it comes down to, Sonny, you said it perfectly.
Who the hell is this?
What? Oh, what? Joey is so handsome, and Pooney looks like a horse's ass. Yeah, that sounds accurate to me. Whoever that is, Joey. I'm right with you. That sounds exactly. But Pooney, you're right. I mean, I didn't go out. I'm not buying these soundboards. I'm probably only going to ever listen to all of them once. But as always, like I'll always say, I'd rather have it than not have it. So that they had the foresight and the balls to release this, it at least shows me, maybe they do listen to us. Maybe they do give us every once in a while a little gold nugget. Does it sound incredible? No, but this is the stuff we want. All the hype in the world was that stupid Sam Loomis shit. 85% of that shit was garbage, unwatchable garbage. On 8mm or behind the stage garbage, but we all flipped out over it, right? Treat this the same way. Let them keep releasing these. It's not going to be a live one. It's not going to be a live two or a live three. It's just a little clip of history. And if we can get some of these moments pieced together, yes, I saw a comment earlier, release an Asylum soundboard with Bruce and Eric. I would love to hear that. These are the types of things I want. I don't want a soundboard from End of the Road. I don't want a soundboard, another soundboard from the reunion. Give us these little time capsules so we can piece history together in our own light.
Now, I want to get your take on this, because part of me doesn't believe what I'm about to say, but it makes sense to me. So we have this sensitive lead singer. He is who he is. It's okay. Is he really in charge of releasing this shit?
No way.
There's no way. He can't have a hand in this right now. So is Universal doing this shit on their own?
I will tell you, you're right. I'm very surprised that him, of all people, are letting the, I'm assuming he, at the end of the day, he does have some kind of control of what gets released and what doesn't get released. But maybe, again, in his brain, he hears himself back then, it's still light years better than he is right now. So he's like, oh my God, God, I was good back then. Holy shit. He's not listening. He's not like you and I, where he's listening to every song, every note before he gives it the okay. He probably gives it a 45 second, 5 minute listen tops and goes, yep, that sounds good. Put that out for the fans.
Well, Rory Erickson here has a good point. Sam Lewis stuff was free. Who'd pay for this quality or listen to it even twice? I paid for it. But again,
Poonie and I said, I'm on Spotify. I have Spotify. I've listened to every one of these on Spotify. That's how I will digest this. I will never pay for this. You're right.
Of course, everybody has ideas of what would be good. Palladium off the soundboard. Remote viewer 1006 says Palladium. That's the one that everybody would like to have.
Of course,
yeah.
So for those who have listened, I did a little bit of research, okay? Sometimes it sounds like there's nobody in the crowd. There was 3,020 people at the show, okay? And all this shit about it's hot in here, get everybody a drink, it's hot, it's so fucking hot. It was November 28th. It was 64 high, 34 low. I don't understand why it's hot in this arena. I'm lost. And Paul must have said it 10 times. I think Paul was like running out of shit to say. I don't know.
Isn't it really funny that, listen, I'm not saying I like or dislike this Paul, but Paul is a completely different person.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Oh,
fuck
my
this.
God.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing. Somebody mentioned, I'm sorry, I posted earlier, but somebody mentioned, I forgot how much Paul cussed, you know, on these shows until this was, you know, listened to.
But I will tell you, it's not that it's refreshing that he's cursing, but it is refreshing. Last week on my podcast, Top Five with Joey Quesada, I did an episode, Top Five Worst Kiss Moments of All Time. And I really believe the worst moment of all time is the new Paul Stanley. Just the whole attitude he has. And he came out with this one statement. I don't have the exact statement in front of me, but he said something like, never shoot too far into the sky because you'll fall short. Always, you know, curb your dreams in with reality, something like that. And it's the exact opposite of what Paul preached his whole life.
Rambo.
Paul, his whole life, and it's what I grew up on, it's what drives me today, was never let anyone tell you you can't do it. Never let anyone say, you know, you're not gonna make your dreams come true. Never let anyone say, you know, it's too hard to reach that goal. Keep doing it and prove them wrong. So that's the stuff that bothered me. So to hear Paul back then, even though he's cursing, he sounds like a crazy man, it's refreshing compared to this neutered Paul we have today.
Right. Rory Erickson says something I wanted to bring up. It says, Sydney 1980 soundboard would be great. Let me tell you, I found that record. I bought that record. I brought it home. It's a bootleg, obviously, of Sydney. I put it on. I got my coffee. I dropped the needle. I was so excited. And that's when I realized that it was a damn recording of the VHS. And the VHS would go, yep. You know, I was so mad. Now, I only paid like 10 bucks for it. So it's just for the cover is cool, you know, but damn. I do have a good bootleg of that, but I would like that on vinyl.
Sydney 80 is one of the best shows. I absolutely love that show, especially some of the Unmasked they play. Hearing Unmasked live shows you a little bit of the power that it could have had on a real good recording. I love that show.
Okay, so Joey, if you could get any show, what would it be?
Oh my God, that's a great question. I will tell you, as much as I'm an Eric Carr fan as I am, one of the best shows that I've ever been to in my life, maybe the best, because it was such an intimate setting. And there's a bootleg of this on YouTube. Kiss during the Club Revenge tour, they played L'Amour in Brooklyn, and I was at that show, first row, absolutely dripping sweat, literally,
I have it.
Literally stepping over people that were fainting to get to the front row. They're absolutely on fire that night. And you can go look it up, type in Brooklyn Rock City on YouTube. They sound incredible. That show blows away the production of Alive 3 any day.
I do want to make sure you guys understand that what we're not saying, don't release more of these. And we're not saying that we've hated every one of them. That's not it. I've liked most of them. Sonny, I'm not sure. Joey, I'm not sure. I've liked most of them. I understand, but this was a little too much for me. That's what I'm saying.
The only one that's weird for me, Joe, is the Virginia Beach Rock the Nation one.
Yeah.
Because I was on that show. You know, I opened for Kiss on that tour. And I have the, God, what was it called? Jesus Christ.
Not it was the CDs board. That they gave out the yes, same well, thing. Right.
Instant Live. I have the Instant Live from that night. And it's infinitely better than what they released on the soundboard recording. So I don't know if they took the Instant Live and thought they were remastering it and made it sound worse. But whatever that Instant Live is, is way better than the soundboard recording that they released. I'm not sure why they did that and not just the Instant Live. It's probably a legal issue with the Instant Live company. But
maybe, yeah.
That night, they didn't sound as bad as they sound on the off the soundboard recording.
That's the other thing I don't understand about the soundboard thing. So if the recording is off the soundboard, you would think that the mix is perfect. Why is the mix not perfect?
That's not true, Sonny. So again, soundboard mixes are notoriously bad. And I know
really?
That sound. Yeah.
Oh,
I know
wow.
It sounds weird because what you're getting on the soundboard recordings, you're getting no ambiance. You're getting direct mic inputs from the amps, from the drums, from the guitars, from the vocals. You're getting direct ins, and then the soundboard's recording it and then feeding effects into the board, shooting out to the PA. So the PA is getting it all EQ'd and effect, but the soundboard is notoriously very dry, very un-EQ'd, very bland. So the soundboard recording is actually never good.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Weird.
I know that's weird.
It's weird. I know it's weird.
Because when I hear soundboard recording, I figure I'm getting the PA recording, right?
No,
that's what I think I'm getting.
Absolutely not. You're not getting, you're getting what's feeding into the main system, dry and bland. And then it's feeding out to the PA beautiful with EQs and, you know, taking in effects and all that stuff. You're not getting that in the soundboard. Soundboards are always dry and gross.
Because the Paul weird screams in this, I'm like, but I guess if I'm hearing it through the PA, it would have been EQ'd and backed off a little bit.
Right. It sounds like he's right on the mic like this.
Yeah.
You're not hearing any crowd ambiance. You're not hearing the actual speaker sound. You're hearing the direct feed into the mic. It's very dull.
Yeah.
So, Sonny, I asked Joey, is there a show that you would like to hear?
I'm at a point now where most of the classic shows that we want to hear, we've either heard bootlegs or we've heard them. So I think I'm with Joey. I would want shows before, I would want Revenge or older, and I would want shows that I went to. So now you're talking 86 to 91, and I was in the house. So that way now I can, compare my experience to what I'm hearing, if that makes sense.
I think the next thing that I would really want, I really want something released that I know this is probably shocking, but I wouldn't mind like a Dress to Kill, or I don't think we've gotten a Hotter Than Hell off the soundboard. You know, they said they recorded everything, right? Every Kiss fan, even if you haven't watched the Three Sides of the Coin interview, it has all this stuff. They get their they get to keep their Kiss Army card. They have all the bootlegs. They have lots of bootlegs anyway. And we've heard so much of this. Agreed? And, yeah. And so what would I like that I could drop a needle on? I would love any of the early bootlegs, you know, Winterland would be great to have on vinyl. I can listen to it whenever I want, but there's something more fun about dropping the needle and sitting down and hearing the record go. Everybody's different.
You know, what would be really cool too. I know, like the convention tours they did. Obviously, we have Kiss Unplugged, of course, but some of the convention tours they did big set lists. And to have, I think I have like a double disc bootleg of like an Australian convention tour, maybe. And they did a lot of cool stuff. I'd love to hear something like that. I'd love to hear another a real Hot in the Shade mix. Yeah, there's just so many ways they can go. I got to tell you, you know what I would even love to hear? More video than audio. But, and I'm not a big fan of what's going on right now, but I would love to hear a greatest hits, a mix of all of the cruises, all the rarities that we've heard over the cruises, all the, you know, didn't they do like Charisma and The Oath and, you know, all these crazy songs they pulled out over the years. Why not release that on video? Just call it The Kiss Cruise Greatest Hits and release every song you've ever done on the Kiss Cruise, the video versions. You know, they've had 3 and 4 camera shoots of all these. We've seen them, you know, on bootlegs and on YouTube. I would love to see something like that.
Any of this older stuff, did Kiss lose anything on the Universal fires? Remember the fires?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Right? Was that ship put there somewhere?
I don't know if it was ever reported. You're right. Who knows? Who knows if Universal had that stuff or Kiss? Who knows? I don't know.
So somebody, look at this post right here. Lakeland, Florida, Civic Center, 11-12-77. Paul yells out, shit, Ace has just been electrocuted. I have not ever heard this.
Me either.
If that's true, that's awesome. And so it doesn't say your name on here. I would like to know who you are. And how do you know this?
Right. Is there audio of that somewhere?
Is there audio of it somewhere? Or is it in a book or something like that that I have not read? Let's see. Do you think Paul's 5-second call to Ace will get released?
If Ace can pull it up, it will.
that's not too bad. That was a pretty good one, Chuck. All right. So listen, what have we learned here? One, Podcast Rock City is a place you can come and yell at us when you don't like what we're saying. And we post your comments right here so everybody can see that you're bitching at us because you don't like what we're saying. And it's okay. That's what's awesome about this show. We're not going to tell you you're stupid for having your opinion. I don't have a problem with that at all. And most of the time, Sonny's wrong. And
most,
about
all the
oath,
time. What are you talking about?
About the Oath especially and the Elder. But, you know, this is the cool thing about our show. So if you're enjoying this, listen to it. It's awesome. I have 90 Kiss records over there. I do not listen to them all. It might be 100 now.
Oh my God.
I don't listen to them all. And I have my favorites and they're my go-tos, and you know, I really should spread it out a little more, but I don't. And some people will be like, well, why have so many? I don't know. I'm stupid. I got a problem. And then, you know, like I said, if you don't like it, you listen to it once, you put it in your collection and that's where it is. Joey and Sonny didn't even buy it. They listened to it once, they're done. And a lot of you guys,
if you guys had a recommendation of what song to go to on this, recording, I will tell you, put on Under the Gun. It's great.
Oh my God. Song. It was brutal.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, Sonny. Great, because your opinion is always the exact opposite of mine. You're half an idiot. I'm great.
Yeah.
So
no. You want to give this a shot.
Great.
No. You want to give this a shot. The two songs to give this a shot to is Black Diamond and Lick It Up. Lick It Up. No Who shit. And actually, the Mark noodling at the end works. Lick It Up is probably the best Lick It Up I've heard live in a while.
Joe, pull up that comment before where someone said Sonny looks like a horse's ass. I like that one.
All right, listen. And I do really appreciate you guys. I do want to point out something. I got to get it over here.
Oh, no.
I went to the Rockin' Brews. Another...
What the hell is that?
It's their menu. He's a thief.
Did you steal that?
No.
Of course he did.
No. I can honestly say, and Karen's probably watching, I did not steal it.
Tell us how you have it then, right now, Joe.
I cannot tell you.
He's an accomplice, though. He's an accomplice.
I cannot tell you.
Karen stole it. Great. You put Karen at risk.
Karen didn't steal it. Anyway, all right. So thank you guys for watching and listening. If you're listening to this while you're driving and you're yelling, you guys suck. We don't suck. We're just giving our opinion. You give yours, and I don't think you suck. We love you. And that's one of the cool things about this show. I've said that like 5 times now. Like when Ace said, oh my God, the memes, you guys, have been spectacular. Fantastic, as my son would say. Just keep them coming. Post them on the thing. Next week, we're going to have another show. Everybody have a happy Easter. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, so this soundboard, it came out. I probably won't listen to it again. And what I learned listening to it is this kiss is not sustainable. This kiss would not have been sustainable. At some point, Mark has to go. And I'm glad Bruce is there. And to answer Chuck's question, do you think Yngwie Malmsteen will ever release a good song? 90% of Trilogy is good. Go check it out.
Trilogy is phenomenal, Sonny. I agree with you. And Odyssey is great too.
Yeah.
That's a first. Sonny, did you say the statistics for the show?
Yeah, 3,000 people in the audience.
3,000 in that audience.
Yep.
That's nuts. Joey, what do you got to add?
A couple quick things. I know people have been seeing me guzzle this drink all night. This is a beautiful.
Tequila? Is it tequila?
I'm finishing the bottle of a beautiful Wild Turkey American Honey.
It is absolutely
delicious. And yeah. I highly recommend it to anyone out there. But go check out Top 5 with Joey Quesada. I just did an episode, Top 5 Worst Kiss Moments in Kistory. I did it with the two morons from Shout It Out Loudcast just because they're as bitter as I am. Joe, I would love to have on, but he's too nice. He would never say anything.
No way. I got 25.
No, you would never say anything mean enough, Joe. I know you. You're too nice. So check it out. We did the top 5 worst moments in Kistory. It's a good episode. I'm curious to see what everyone else's thoughts are on what would your top 5 moments be? Sonny, just curious, and Joe too, what would your, honestly, worst moment in Kistory be? Sonny, you first.
Oh, God.
It could be something that just bothers you. It doesn't have to be something like The Elder or something.
Yeah,
big.
Yeah. I would say, watch, I'm going to get hate mail for this. I would say settling on Vinny. That you're so big on this planet that you can't get somebody to join your band. Like, come on, dude. Really?
Right.
Right? Let him be a songwriter. Not an issue. I don't have a problem with the way the guy writes songs. But
right. The whole story of, oh, we're on a time constraint. We had a tour coming up. Come on. You're Kiss.
Yeah.
Get a good guy.
Yeah. You wanted somebody you could control. Right. And there were some people that came that were better that you didn't think you could control. Be real.
Yep.
Yeah.
Perfectly said. Joe, what about you? What's your worst moment, really? Something that you're embarrassed when you tell your other, friends about Kiss.
Psycho Circus is an embarrassment. The fact that they tried to sell us the fact that the original band was playing on it and it wasn't. I can't even listen to it knowing that. I knew when I was listening to it that it wasn't Peter, but it's an embarrassment. They the fact that they did that is ridiculous and more shysting than even, you know, the whole Creatures of the Night Ace, not on the record, but on the record kind of thing. That, that bothers me to this day. I have like three copies of it. I hardly ever listen to it. And when I do, I tell you that the record's good, but it upsets me really a lot that they lied to us that bad. I understand that the original time they had to lie to us was partially for the label. Right. You know, it was for the label that they had to say Ace was on that record, because if they, if he wasn't, they get in trouble. I get that. But this, Peter could have played on it. Ace could have played on it. It could have just been a Kiss record. And
I don't know.
Fine.
If, I don't know if you listened to my, my episode or not, but that's on my list. 100% right, Joe. I think they dropped the ball on that so hard that they wanted to do this modern sounding record with studio musicians. And they just came off the most successful tour they've ever done. End of the year. How do you not try to recreate, you know, Dress to Kill in the studio, Rock and Roll Over in the studio? What they did was a complete travesty.
And even if you can't get along, you don't all got to be in the studio together. Who cares?
The, getting along in the studio is the biggest force in the world. You never have to see each other. Stop it. And the, and the idea that Peter couldn't play on the record is absolute garbage. Go watch the reunion tour. He's playing his ass off. He's playing great. Peter, and Peter sounds totally fine on Into the Void. Is it the same drumming as Psycho Circus and Journey in a Thousand Years? No, but it's Peter. We don't want spectacular whatever drumming you think is. We want the magic the four of you can create.
Right.
And even if you did some overdubs with drumming, I mean, they did it to Eric.
Of course.
Right? So you could do overdubbing and fix whatever you want to fix.
Brent Milhouse says playing for Sharks, 100%.
Oh, that was on my list, my friend. Definitely.
John Ross, I'd like, he's been very vocal this show. I'd like to know. Okay. So that, so go and listen to that show and you'll hear Joey and two guys that don't fucking matter.
It's true. They really don't matter.
You're right. I do love them though. They're so nice to me. And I do love those guys.
They're idiots, Joe. And worse, even worse, they're from Boston.
You know, the crazy thing was, is that you, when you had me on a show with the, with them, and you thought that we would all get into each other's faces, and none of us did.
Nobody. I don't know if anyone knows that, but I, about a year ago, I did a podcast with all the main guys from all the Kiss podcasts. We had Joe on. We had Cicchini from Three Sides. We had the guys from Shout It Out Loudcast, Pot of Thunder, everyone on. I figured, I'm going to put these guys in the same podcast, let it go, and explosions were going to happen. They were so civil to each other. It was disgusting.
We all know each other, though.
No, I wanted you guys to bite each other's heads off.
No. I'm going to bite the head off of that guy that told me that if I don't watch the fucking Three Sides thing, that I have to lose my damn Kiss. That's like, if you don't vote for me, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what? Just because I don't watch the interview? Give me a fucking break.
One more thing before closing. Karen, yes. Just one more time. Fix this intro before next week. Get it done.
She'll get it done for you. Thank you, guys. Listen to Joey's new show. Always make sure that you listen to Sonny's show. And anytime you hear some guy come on and talks like this, just mute and then come back. It's all good. And I wonder if people think I'm this big of a dick. Like, Joe's a dick. I know one person does because he emails me all the time and lets me know.
Wait, but, I want to know who this is. This guy.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway.
Tell me off air.
I think that I'm a nice person and I'm friendly and loving and I would hug you. All right. So that's it. That's the end of the show. Goodbye. You know what I'm going to say? You know what I'm going to say? We love Kiss. These guys. And we love Kiss podcasts. Most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this. In 3, 2, 1. Peace.
unfettered moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare, classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growingUpRock.com.
That's growingUpRock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
D-U-M-M-Y-R-O-O-M. Hey, everybody. This is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests, too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.